Is there, sorry, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the March 9th meeting?
I motion to approve the minutes.
I second. Carmina.
Okay, so moving on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on the agenda when it comes up for discussion and or action. Do we have any public comments at this time? Andrea, no, are there? No? Okay. So then we'll move on to old business. I can't see the, let me see if I can pull up. Oh, okay. We'll move on to old business. Number one, funding request schedule, which are located on pages 9 and 10 of the packet. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information in the packet?
Yes, I have 3 separate questions. One for DIP, one for the Lift to Rise LOI, and one for the Transgender Health and Wellness Center. Can staff please go over their notes and explain them for the Desert AIDS project?
Okay, we did receive an LOI that they had requested a three-year grant for $750,000. Most of that would have been capital expenses. That's for their behavioral health expansion. And after we had a long pre-proposal conference with them, it was mutually decided that they would send in a grant application for $100,000 to help build out the first phase of the behavioral health expansion, which would cover the part of the salary of the psychiatrist, which is from UCR Health. And this psychiatrist is also going to be having UCR residents, psych residents rotating through. So she'll be in charge of them. And then the other one would be salary support for the LCSW behavioral health clinician.
Okay. So, just to make sure I understood this correctly, this LOI is only for phase one. There is no conversation about them coming back for a phase two and three, or are we still part of phase two and three?
This is just part of phase one. Phase two and three is more capital construction towards the build out of their pods on their on the family resource center that they've taken over next door. So we wanted to see how this first phase phased out, played out, and then we'll go from there regarding phase two and phase three, if there's any interest later on, or if they need some funding later on.
Can someone remind me if we have a policy regarding facilities? I think I was like muddled with like the CB Link.
Capital projects?
Thank you, yes, capital
projects. Yes, right now the board had approved, this was a while back, they could revisit it maybe after the strategic plan, but right now we are not funding any capital projects.
And therefore this first part of the LOI is not what we should be funding, or it is what we should be funding? The expansion.
It's staff. It's for organizational support for staff, behavioral health staff.
So behavioral health expansion is not of a physical building. It is behavioral health expansion.
In part it's a physical building, but the other part is really expanding the whole behavioral health component of DAP health, meaning that they've got a psychiatrist who's going to have psych residents, 4 residents rotating through to learn about DAP's behavioral health component of their integrated care model.
Okay, can I just ask that when the actual application comes to us, that it is in line with our capital projects policy? This is cleared.
Well, let me clarify something, Director Borja. Regarding capital expenditures policy, we do not have a policy that forbids the district from investing in capital costs. We had a conversation at the policy committee, I believe it was January or February of this year, and we clarified that point because that policy doesn't exist. We have had conversations that were sparked by the fact that there were some organizations that would come to the district, ask for capital expenditures, then those assets would transfer hands or be abandoned or something, and it would be a waste of public resources to invest our dollars in those types of investments. And when there is a capital request, it's on a case-by-case basis that we would have to assess. The number one, what's the amount that is requested? Number two, what's the usage of that capital investment? And I think that it will merit a conversation once we have a capital cost request on the table that is significant and that we have concerns about that. And I think the reason why we had that conversation about capital expenditures was because we had a request from the city of Coachella to help with the renovation of a swimming pool that we're still working on that proposal. We don't have a full proposal yet that we will bring to this committee, but that was the reason why we had that conversation. The result of that conversation was, yes, we will invest in capital expenditures on a case by case. And again, we will consider what's the amount, what's the purpose, and something like $80,000 or $100,000 is not a big investment, but I don't know how much of these $750,000 that was submitted by DAP would end up being requested for a capital expenditures. And I think we would have to assess that amount and purpose when the time comes.
Okay, I think the time has come. If we were to, when this application comes through, the same way it's written in the staff notes, and it's phase one, if we approve this, then what's not to say that in phase two and phase three, the other $650,000 cannot be asked for? If we did it in phase one, why wouldn't we do it in phase two and three with a capital expense? Or capital investment, as you keep calling it.
Well, we don't have the details. Anything that we say today with this is pure speculation. We don't know that the phase three, as we're calling, or two and three, is going to request $650,000 for capital expenditures. Do you have that level of detail, Sana?
No, I don't. And actually, when we get the application, that does have a lot of little bit more detail. We did ask them as well to submit a budget to show that over the years, what they are anticipating bringing in revenue-wise, as they are an FQHC and they can be reimbursed. So they did send in a budget, a working budget, and it showed that they would be having increased revenues of over $172,000, I believe, by the end of year one from this particular phase. And the reason we asked for that, and we are a little bit a red flag in some respects, they had a similar project into us a few years ago to build out the DOC, their STD clinic. It was a three-year project, and it was for $800,000. But each year they had to show that they were that the DOC was starting to slowly generate revenue from the billing from the insurance reimbursements. They showed that, and at the end of year three, they showed that the DOC was completely sustainable and was capacity wise and was making and was going to show that they were going to be making a profit, but they would be sustainable. couple years after that, when we had some conversations with DAP and they were looking for some more funding, they were asking for funds of an excess of $240,000 to cover the gap in the loss of the docks revenue. And when we asked them about that, they said that they were not billing anymore for reimbursement because they didn't, that it just what that the cost was, the cost of their services was more than what they were bringing in for revenue wise. So we had a hard time with that because they're an FQHC and they're supposed to be self-sustaining and bringing in other revenue, but that was a red flag as well. So that's why we wanted to take this one a little bit slower as well and just look at what happens after a year. That was an $800,000 investment that then they showed that they were $240,000 upside down.
That's a lot to take in. That's a lot of information to take in. When this application comes to us, it will tell us how much they're going to be asking for the physical expansion and how much they'll be asking for a behavioral health clinician, correct?
It will show in their budget, yes, what the capital costs are.
When you have another conversation with them, is it possible to start asking them what a phase two request would look like?
Do they have a psychiatrist? I'm sorry.
Sure.
Can you hear me? My connection is going in and out.
Can hear you.
Oh, okay. So just curious, do they already have a psychiatrist on staff and a licensed clinical social worker already? Or are
yes.
they looking for someone? Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's my last comment on the DAP health request or LOI. My next question is if staff can share a little deeper of an update on the Lift to Rise LOI, please. That like one sentence is very short.
Conrado, you want me to do that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, this was, I don't know if you recall, past presentations that Lift to Rise had made to different committees and also to the board when they were actually presenting and looking for an ask of $10 million for the Coachella Valley Housing Catalyst Fund. So it has been reduced to, the request is now $2.5 million and it is actually for pre-development. A lot of it's going for pre-development fees in projects that have been identified in the pipeline as going forward for low-income affordable housing.
Thank you. I'm taking my notes. It might take me a little while to switch back off of mute. For the public's understanding, can you please tell us how we got from a $10 million conversation we were having to a $2.5 million conversation that is now presented here?
I believe that the way that we reduced from 10 million to 2.5 is by the fact that a $10 million request would have to be allocated from facilities replacement fund. And we are not in a position to utilize facilities replacement fund for any allocation. And that has been a conversation we have had many times. It was triggered by the $10 million grant that this board approved last year for CBAG, for the CiviLink, and that created a lot of concerns by allocating $10 million from a facilities replacement fund that we believe is more prudent to be kept in the bank in the case that we have to take over the hospital and we have other obligations related to the seismic retrofit of the hospital. So that was the reason why This request went from 10 million to a more doable 2.5, and we don't know. We're still waiting to complete that stage two and some direction from the board on how to move forward with this application. But we would not tap into our facilities replacement fund. We would use the existing grant allocation funding that we have available.
And the existing grant allocation would be from
annual $4 million we have.
For this fiscal year or next fiscal year?
I believe from this fiscal year, which we have 2.4 million that are still untapped.
Thank you. In the similar sort of line of conversation between DAP Health, Live to Rise, I am wondering if staff can please explain why you have chosen to wait until the community needs assessment, organizational assessment is like approved or whatever else with the Transgender Health and Wellness Center, but not the Live to Rise and the Desert AIDS Project health applications?
Transgender Health and Wellness Center has been, is a new organization. She slowly started building from a small transgender coalition to she has opened up a health and wellness center. They are moving now. They originally had it in Palm Desert. I think they're moving or have moved to a site in Palm Springs. We did an agency assessment with her, with a Center for Nonprofit Advancement about a year ago. And the reason being is she did not have audited financials. So she was in the process of getting audited financials, but in the meantime, she sent in other financials and showed that she was $35,000 in the red. So financially, and she had a board that was not very effective. Tommy Clinton was doing all of the work. So she really needed to have some help with her organizational capacity, how to grow a board, how to grow a nonprofit, how to have financials. So the district paid and for her to have an agency assessment, organizational assessment with the Center for Nonprofit Advancement, which is through Regional Access Project Foundation. The consultant that was working with her, Tommy, has since retired. So there was another consultant that came on. So Stephanie Miner, who is the executive director, and I have been going back and forth because they did send in an invoice, but it was just one lump sum of $4,000. So I'd gone back to her and asked her if she could please break out the invoice. And also we need a copy of the agency assessment. And in those agency assessments, there's lots of recommendations of what to do, how to build the board, how to work on financials, how to grow a nonprofit so it is sustainable and capacity-wise strong. So since then, she has sent in audited financials. They're showing that they are growing and they are growing strong. And their latest P&L shows that they have a little bit extra dollars in the bank as well. So, but before we go forward, I still want to just get the agency assessment to see what they say needs further work that needs to be done for the Transgender Health and Wellness Center. And that's not to say we are not going to fund them. There are some pieces of this request that they need help with their case management, behavioral health case management. So we're looking at other areas from this request that we can fund. But this is a large amount for her, and we don't even know if they have the capacity financially wise to handle an almost $400,000 grant.
Thank you very much. That was like the exact details. It was like sitting kind of weird with me, but I appreciate all of that. Sure. Sorry, can I go back to the Lift to Rise grant really quickly? I remembered the question I wanted to ask Conrado. Conrado, you asked that you're waiting from the board to complete a stage two. Can you remind me what exactly you're needing from us in order to do that?
At the last board retreat we had, or board development activity with Martin Rauch, the board expressed concerns about the process and the content of a decision related to this ask. And in lieu of a clear directive on what to do with this process, everything is on a holding pattern. That was my comment.
Thank you. Now I remember and I recalled. That was it for my questions and comments on the funding request.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions regarding the funding request or payment schedule?
I had a question for Camarado. Camarado, do you mind reminding us the concerns that we had from the board for Lift to Rise for stage two?
I think the concerns were more a disagreement on whether we had followed a process or not. When we had a conversation about the affordable housing and housing stability as a social determinant of health back in, I believe it was October of last year, and that was at the request of the board, which at the, I can't recall if it was at the June or July board meeting, Heather Bicona from Lift to Rise had made some comments about the housing and the housing catalyst fund that the Lift to Rise is working on. And the board directed staff to create a workshop to talk about affordable housing. And we had that workshop in October. And during that workshop, there was a board member asked how much would this cost. And I think that was the greatest mistake we made, because when that question was asked, and that was probably a question out of the ordinary, the $10 million was surfaced. And that triggered, let's go to different committees and talk about the funding mechanism for this. And there was never consensus or agreement on how to move forward. In the meantime, the board directed staff to bring this item through the program committee through a traditional grant request. That's when the grant request went down from 10 million to 2.5 million. And that was due to the fact that we cannot take money from the facilities replacement fund. Mm-hmm. But it was stuck on stage one, because at a subsequent board retreat, some board members raised concerns about the issue of whether we had followed the right process or not. And here we are. I think that before the fiscal year ends, we should be making a decision about how we're going to move this forward. And I'll be asking this question at the next board meeting, because I think we need to, unless this committee wants to make a recommendation that we move forward with the stage two.
I don't want to make that recommendation. I do have a question. What if by the end of the fiscal year, we don't have enough funds to cover the 2.5 million?
We can make a recommendation of either making a smaller commitment or a multi-year commitment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Camarado, for that.
Sure. You're welcome.
Are there any more questions?
No.
Okay, we'll move on to number two, which is progress and financial reports update. The information is on pages 11 through 51. If anyone has any questions, ask now.
And I can just preface this. If you recall in the past, we have created a schedule, sort of like the funding request schedule, but realized that while we were copying and pasting and putting into the schedule, that you really weren't getting the full flavor of the progress report and or final report, where that little schedule did not show what their original intent was, how many people they wanted to serve, what their goals were going to be. So by putting in the full progress report, I know it's a little bit more pages and maybe more things to read, we thought it would give you a little bit more information of what the original grant request was, what was approved, and how they were, their progress was being made during these particular time periods, if they were following what they said they were going to do. So that's why there's, and then same thing with the final report. If you'd like me to go back to that other format, it's fine, but we just thought this would give you a little bit more information so you can see where they are at with the grant dollars that they have been awarded.
Thank you very much for that additional information. Does anyone have questions?
Comments. Thank you. This was definitely very useful to like see it in this way. It wasn't really heavy and a lot to take in. Some of them were, but most of them weren't. For the air quality, this is more of a comment for Conrado maybe. I'm really glad they spoke with Ryan St. Clair. He really is like a resident expert on air quality. And so I'm glad that they had the conversation with him regarding like his asthma findings. I definitely still think that they should continue to talk to the California Institute for Rural Studies, who has done like an in-person survey. I don't know if that's what Ryan talked to them about or not, but the California Institute for Rural Studies has been in the communities and has like taken air breath tests from people and a couple of other different surveys in the East Valley.
Director Borja, I've been trying to find that data set. Do you know where that exists? Because that's the data set where I remember when we were starting this process that Ryan, they did a lot of, I think over 2000, in-person interviews. Where does that data set exist? Is there any way that I haven't been able to find that data set?
So Gail, who used to be, I believe, the executive director was her title, of the California Institute for Rural Studies, was the owner of the data. Ryan was a partner in that data, and so were other promotoras. So the California Institute for Rural Studies should be the owner of that information. It was funded by Building Healthy Communities, who then transitioned into Alianza. So in that like transition period was when this was kind of going on. So part of it was funded by the BHC and the THC, the California Endowment. But it definitely does live with the California Institute for Rural Studies.
Okay, great. Thank you.
When you all talk to Angel View, can you also tell them just like, thank you so much. I definitely know people who were supported, whose families were supported when they started doing like the tech support for students, laptops, computers, things like that. So just thank you for like filling a gap when it was like most needed. I'm really glad that this funding was like able to cover some of those gaps. So I appreciate that. We were part of it too. Sure. I have a question about the Pueblo Unido grant and information they shared. My question really is about the Oasis Mobile Home Park. They're not online, are they? It says here they helped two units and it's a pilot program. I'm wondering if the pilot program will continue. That was my only question.
Can you tell me what page that's on, Karen?
It is the Pueblo Unido Progress Report. Let me see. Ugh, I didn't write a page.
You mentioned something about online.
This one. It is on page
47, Donna. Mm-hmm.
47. It's at final progress report, goal number one.
Okay.
And
it's all 25.
It's also on the screen too, Donna, if you want to reference it here.
Oh, so. Okay, thanks. So your question was about something online, you said?
Yes, the Oasis Mobile Home Park, which is that first paragraph right. on page 48. They shared that they had put their STAT program in two mobile units as a pilot program. I'm just wondering if they're planning to continue that pilot program or not. Literally out of curiosity, not super important. Just,
I would not be surprised and say yes. I would say yes, because they're very heavily involved with that mobile home park, always looking out for it. So I would think so. Alejandro, maybe a little more information on that?
Yeah, some of these programs, they test them out to see the efficacy and to see exactly how the residents, you know, utilize the services. But I would imagine that they will expand on some of these things because we all know the problems at the Oasis, you know, mobile home park are not going away. And I think this is something that normally Pueblo Nido does, especially also with the under sink units, filtration units that they have in some of the trailer parks. So they don't have to do any infrastructure within the trailer park. It's actually within the trailer where they set up some of these units to do the filtration itself versus trying to fix the whole, you know, system. They just do it trailer by trailer. So I would imagine, well, you know, with the data that they collected on this pilot study, that they might be expanding on those projects.
I don't know if we can encourage them but if we can, we maybe should, especially as you're mentioning, Alejandro, knowing the unsurmounting water issues in that mobile home park and just the pace of progress for people.
Yeah, and I think that's more of a something that we'll feel a little bit more comfortable with versus, you know, infrastructure, because these are units that could be removed if the trailer, you know, for some reason needs to be moved or they close down the park. They could just unhook these filtration systems and take them with them. So that's better than, you know, digging up pipes and taking those with them. So,
right.
Yeah.
Other than that, thank you all for this like report on all of these grants. I think we were all curious to see and get an update on them. So I definitely appreciate learning what all of these nonprofits have been like up to, which has been a lot. They've like been serving a ton of people across the valley, and it incredibly is just amazing to understand and see it on paper. So thank you all as well for just supporting them and helping us help them.
This is Carmina. I have a question on a mental health college and career pathway development initiative grant. Or the One Future Coachella Valley grant, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just curious, the section, which says proposed goals and evaluations. I'm just wondering,
I think you cut out, Carmina. I think we lost her.
Carmina, are you there?
In terms of career.
We lost you for about a minute or so. So could you repeat what you were asking? Oh, sorry.
Okay, so for the section on proposed goals and evaluation, I'm curious where it says by the end of the grant, two high schools will add a behavioral health pathway, resulting in a minimum of 60 additional students. I'm just curious in what direction or what career are they focusing? I mean, it's behavioral health, but what paths?
All kinds of paths. It could be anything from LCSWs to going on forward to becoming a psychiatrist or a psych nurse practitioner or PA. The career pathways lists out all different careers, which it just doesn't have to be psychiatrists, of what, if they're interested in behavioral health, they can take the path, and it shows them the schools they would need, not the schools they would need to go to, but the courses they would need to take, how many hours of internship, and how many years it may take for each pathway that's been outlined. So it's not just one career. It is a choice of other careers and offering other careers that they might not even know existed when you think of behavioral health.
So one more question. Is it Did that answer your question, Kamina? Yes, yes, you did. Thank you, Donna. But I'm curious, is it also, is it schools here in the Coachella Valley in terms of, like, I'm thinking about College of the Desert or any other universities, local universities here?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I think Cal State San Bernardino offers some pathways and some courses in behavioral health. COD, I think, in beginning, especially in the nursing. But that is a good question. I will ask Sheila Thornton about that. Local schools.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions? Any more questions? Hearing none, we'll move on to number three, grant payment schedule on page 52. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information provided?
No questions.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to program updates. Page 53, number one, the Desert Healthcare District and Regional Access Project, the 100,000 Joint Pool Collective COVID-19 Recovery Fund update. Who will be giving the update on this information?
This is a nice little chart that, thank you, Erica, put together for us. As you can see, we did meet with RAP and we looked over all the applications that came, all 74 of them, I think it was, or 71, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And so we, as you can see, 31 of those were mutually approved. Regional Access Project Foundation identified some extra organizations that they wanted to fund. So their board had agreed to put some extra dollars into their portion of the recovery fund. So this is the breakdown of what the district picked to fund. We had, Yvette was part of our team that worked on this. And then you can see the list that Regional Access Project Foundation also elected to fund. This is for a 3-month grant starting April 1st and going through June 30th, 2021.
Okay, thank you, Donna. Does anyone have any questions regarding this information provided? No. Okay, so we will move on to, I lost my packet. To the Community Health Needs Assessment and Health Improvement Plan. Who will be providing information on this topic? Is there any new information?
You want me to do it?
Sure, Megan.
It's just a brief update. We wanted to just let you know, again, we're still moving forward. There's a workshop on Friday evening with the board to go over the needs assessment thoroughly, as well as a lot of time focused on our community health improvement plan, which is kind of the basis to help inform our strategic plan. So just going over the entire process, what went into it, you know, what is the outcome, and then how we move forward. They are still in draft form, but we're hoping after the workshop and the feedback from the board of directors, we can get a final document here to the board in May.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Megan, or will we wait until Friday?
No questions.
Okay.
I hope my wind chimes aren't too loud. I keep muting myself.
No, it's fine. We're moving on to grant funding request. Consideration to forward to the board for approval grant number 1266 for the Galilee Center, Our Lady of Guadalupe Shelter, $150,000.
So the staff report and the application are in your packet and budget for your review and comments. To quickly sum up, the funds that they're requesting would go to support their overhead for food distribution and for 3 employee salaries as they ramp up for the asylum seekers that are coming through, as well as an increase in the migrant farm workers. So this is basic overhead and operating support for the shelter itself. Claudio Castaneda is in the meeting if anybody has any additional questions or comments.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or comments for either Donna or Claudia?
Not at this time.
Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the grant and forward it to the board for approval?
I motion to approve the Dalali Center grant.
Okay, is there a second? I'll second the motion to approve. So it will be forwarded to the board for final approval. Move on to grant number 11277, Live to Rise, United Lift Rental Assistance 2020 for $300,000. Is there any information on this grant? Donna?
Is there any information? Yeah, starting on page 73 is the staff report and then the full grant application with the budget. As you can see that they Lift to Rise is getting another $25 million in federal rental assistance funding. Unfortunately, they're only getting 8% for admin related expenses. The county's taking 2%. So in order to get to disperse the large pool of funding, they needed to increase their staff capacity to help get the dollars out the door by the end of the year. They anticipate that they have to go through at least 65 applications to qualify and disperse funding for 4,500 rental households. So the funds that they are asking the district to support would be to fund additional outreach coordinators and program coordinators. Heather is in the meeting if you have any additional questions for her.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Donna or for Heather regarding this grant?
I do. The 8% does not cover, I'm looking at page 82, the line item budget. I didn't add everything up, but the 8% does not cover, 8% of 25 million is 2 million. They are giving direct rental assistance $23.2 million, we could say. So that does not cover, it seems like it would if you take out the direct rental assistance.
I'm gonna let Heather answer that one. Heather, are you there?
Hi, yeah, sorry, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Director Borja, to answer your question, I believe we showed in the budget a $300,000 gap because as Donna was describing, we have this $25 million allocation to disperse, but we have a very tight time frame. And so our concern is that based on the way that we've budgeted, because as Donna described, the admin rate is 8%. The county used 2% rightly to try to staff up on legal aid because it's a major issue. But the pressure, the time boundary we have is to get the money out quickly because the funds have a time boundary. So the additional $300,000 would allow us to increase our staffing capacity to make sure that we get the funds out quickly and to make sure that we're able to get to hard to reach populations that have barriers to access.
Thank you. One of the things that the grant application does not actually tell us is how much staff you're hiring with $300,000. It just tells us your total staff number. Do you have that for us?
Yeah, it's an additional total of 6. And additionally giving us the flexibility to be able to pull on additional outreach support. So an additional of 6 directly for processing the applications, and then additional outreach support, which we have pulled in temporary staff to do that based on the funding that we have available.
Okay, thank you. I have a question. This is about like the overall program, which is gonna help me make this decision. If someone has vacated their property, are they still eligible to apply for whatever reason that they may have left their home and they still owe money to their landlord? Can they still apply to this program or not?
Yes, as long as we can establish a lease agreement, funds can be paid to the landlord as long as we can establish a lease agreement and eligibility.
Does the lease agreement have to be current is my question. Do I have to still be in the unit?
No, we have some flexibility too.
Can you hear Adeseli? Sorry, she's right next to me.
No, I can't. Sorry. She's like very muffled.
Hi. I can answer your question. So we have had cases much like the one that you're describing. And so the way that the county has, you know, allowed us to treat these cases is because this is a matter of like making someone, you know, stable, we are allowed to, as long as we can show that that person was renting from that landlord and they fell behind, we can cover their past due and then also provide future rent at whatever unit they then have an active lease agreement in. We do have to do some liaisoning there because we have to work with 2 landlords and the tenant, but we do have flexibility to be able to assist folks who are in those situations.
Okay, thank you so much. This was going to be honest, the reason why I would say like, no, we won't give it to your staff, but we will like figure out a way to help people who the state has just said, no, you cannot get rental assistance if you're not in the unit anymore for many different reasons. So I motion that we approve moving this forward to the board for discussion and approval.
Okay, is there a second?
Parvina, I second.
Okay, so the grant has been approved and is being moved forward to the board for final approval.
And thank you once more to the Lift to Rise team for taking on this really heavy lift again. We appreciate you all, your staff, and wish you good luck and success.
Okay, so we'll move on to committee member comments. Does any other committee member have a comment that they wish to make at this time? Hearing none, we'll adjourn the program committee meeting at 12:49 p.m. and go directly into the program foundation meeting. Okay, waiting for it to turn 12:50. Those are the longest 20 seconds. Okay, there we go. Okay, I want to call to order the program committee. The program committee foundation meeting to order at 12:50 p.m. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Okay. Carmina, second.
Okay, thank you, Carmina. We'll move on to meeting minutes from March 9th, 2021 meeting. Is there a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the March meeting?
Carmina, approve.
I second.
Okay. So we'll move on to public comments. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are up for that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The committee has a policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. The committee cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on an agenda item when it comes up for discussion and or action. Are there any public comments at this time, Andrea?
There are no public comments.
Okay, hearing no public comments, we'll move on to old business. Number one, advancing the district's role in addressing the healthcare needs of Black communities in the Coachella Valley. Part A, community review and analysis, access to healthcare strategies, $575,000 plus $100,000 from IEHP. Plus $75,000 from Lift to Rise, who will be providing information on this topic.
I can provide a brief update on this. Last night we had a meeting with one of the applicants. We're still pending another meeting. I believe it's going to be on Thursday or Friday. And based on that, the community members are going to make a recommendation and we will bring that information back to this committee at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you, Conrado. Does anyone have any questions for Conrado regarding this information that he provided? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative, the Part A vaccination distribution update. Who will be providing information on the vaccination?
I'm going to ask Alejandro to do a very brief update on that.
Okay. All right. Hi, everybody. Just a quick update on that. We've had several events here in the last couple of weeks. Last week we did two events. We did one at Fantasy Springs Casino for their staff and for the tribal members, staff, and their families. We vaccinated a total of 458 individuals out of that event. On Thursday of last week, we were at Agua Caliente Elementary, and thank you, Director Perez Gil, for attending the event and meeting some of the promotoras and the principal who made all of this possible. Principal Antuna, who has been working with us since we did the Dream Homes initiative there and when it was the old school still. So. Thank you for that, Director Perez Gil. At that event, we were able to vaccinate 798 community members. It was one of our first events that we did there in Cathedral City. We met with Mr. Chavez, who was the principal of Cathedral City High School. He visited the event to just kind of see what the layout was like and just kind of get a little bit more information, because we have approached him about doing a massive vaccination event out of Cathedral City High School and using the gymnasium, where we'll be able to accommodate anywhere between 1,500 to 2,000 people. So, going back to Fantasy Springs, right now the special event center where the concerts and the boxing matches are held it's not being utilized. So we're in discussions with them about utilizing the special event center for a massive, vaccination event there at Fantasy Springs Casino, utilizing all of the amenities that they have. And obviously they have a large facility, because we're going to start using these larger facilities because it's getting a little bit warm outside and we don't want our community members to be waiting outside in the heat, waiting in line. We're also exploring some options of possibly doing drive-up events so folks could just wait in their car if they have air conditioning. So we're exploring different ideas to start addressing, the weather concerns that are approaching here pretty fast in our valley. And hopefully we're able to address some of those so we could, keep there's very high numbers of folks that are attending our events.
Thank you, Alejandro. Okay. Thank you for showing me the setup of Agua Caliente. It was really nice to see everybody, all the partners and the collaboration. Thank you for bringing that out here.
Yeah, no, it was, we even had a special visit from Wilfredo the Wildcat, which is the school mascot. It was in his full getup. It was pretty cool. And he did like a little mock-up of him getting vaccinated, which is pretty cool. So
that's cool.
Go for it. Quest, if it's possible. If it's too much, forget about it. But a couple, maybe like a month or so ago, Conrado on social media like listed the upcoming vaccination testing. Actually, it was COVID testing with like the location. It didn't have the address and the time. Is there a way that we can get something ahead of time? I don't know how these are planned. I don't know if you like plan it on Tuesday and you're out on the field by Friday, but if it's possible to get some kind of like calendar that can be shared. The Fantasy Springs, you mentioned the numbers on the flyer that I saw it like literally I think at 2 p.m and the event started at 3. I saw it like an hour before it started. Said that there was 800 800 vaccines available. You mentioned less than 500 people showed up. Mm-hmm. So maybe some help with like a spreadsheet, a flyer, a social media post, something that can like easily be copy pasted and shared with folks would be incredibly helpful. If it's not too much work, if it's not duplication of anything else.
Definitely. I'll make sure to share those with Andrea so she could share those with the board in general. You know, we do create flyers. We do paid Facebook ads. We do some radio announcements on La Poderosa to ensure that people know about the events that are upcoming. I do like the Facebook live videos, video casts with Marco Palma pretty much on a weekly basis announcing some of the events that we have going on. I think, you know, we will be able to share some of those things. And we do have some events, like I mentioned, that we're planning. Another one that I failed to mention was an event in North Shore. So we're talking with the Desert Recreation District on utilizing the park facility as one a possible vaccination site here pretty soon. So definitely, I'll make sure that you get that information, Director Borja. Vice President.
Thank you. And they do work. The post I saw was a paid ad on Instagram from us, from the Desert Healthcare District, about the fantasy vaccination. It was just the day of. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Does anybody else have a comment? Carmina, do you have a comment regarding this?
No, thank you.
Okay. So hearing no more comments, we'll move on to number 3, the grant payment schedules, which are located on pages 7 through 8. Does anyone have any questions regarding the grant payment schedules? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. Number 1, the Behavioral Health Initiative. Part A, Senior Program Officer. Who will be giving information on the Senior Program Officer?
I'll provide a brief overview on that. We selected a candidate, we extended an employment offer, and that person is pending having all the background checks completed. Should be joining our organization by the end of April. So we'll have an announcement on that once we have completed the process.
Thank you, that's wonderful news. Been waiting for a while for this. Carmina, I think she left, right?
No, I'm here. I said, oh, okay. Can you share the person's name?
Yes, her name is Janet True.
Janet, what? I'm sorry?
True.
True. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Conrado regarding this? Hearing no questions. Okay. So we'll move on to committee member comments. Does anyone have a comment that they wish to make at this time?
No comment.
I have a comment. I would like to say that I am extremely proud of our staff in the effort that they put forward helping the community. I've heard comments from some of my patients that say that the vaccine clinics are easy. They expected to have more trouble trying to access the vaccine. So I thank you guys for making that that access easier for our community. And thank you for your great work and collaboration.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed.
Okay, and if there's no more committee member comments, we'll adjourn the meeting at 1:01 p.m. Thank you all. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.